Have you considered the value of having all your sins forgiven? Hello, I'm Phil Sanders. This is a Bible study in search of the Lord's way. Today, we're examining the beauty and joy of being forgiven.
In all the hurry and hustle and confusion of modern living, the Lord has the way. We believe that the Bible is the revelation of His way. We invite you to join us in search of the Lord's way with Phil Sanders.
Welcome to In Search of the Lord's Way. We're here to search the Scriptures for God's will. I can think of no greater blessing in life than knowing that I am now free from my sin and walking with God. Sin stains the soul, but the blood of Jesus can wash away my sins and cleanse my conscience. A clean conscience is a foretaste of heaven, but a guilty conscience burdens the soul and robs hope. God wants something better for us all. Thanks for taking time for us today. And we'd love to hear from you, and we want to be a part of your life each week. Everyone who reaches the age where they understand right from wrong and then breaks the commandments of God has committed sin. Romans 3 and verse 10 says, "There is none righteous, not even one." Verse 23 says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Paul said in Romans 7 and verse 9, "I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came," that is when he understood the truth, "sin became alive and I died." When one comes to know the teaching of God and sins, one dies spiritually. He separates himself from the grace of God. Romans 6 and verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. But that hasn't changed. It's still true. You know, at some point, each person realized the awful evil of his own sin. It's easy to see the wickedness of others. We see their guilt and shame, but it's difficult to admit the same evil in our own lives. We must admit, "I have sinned against God, and I'm no longer innocent." Much of life is spent ignoring the reality of our sins. We deny that we've sinned, or we imagine sin is no big deal. We blame others, or we blame God. God doesn't make us sinners. We choose to sin, and we're all accountable to God and responsible for our sins. Now, this is an important study on forgiveness, and we offer it free. If you'd like a printed copy and you live in the United States, mail your request to In Search of the Lord's Way, Post Office Box 371, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083, or send an email to searchtv@searchtv.org, or you can call our toll-free telephone number. That number is 1-800-321-8633. We also have free materials on our website at searchtv.org, and you can also see us on YouTube. We'll now worship in song, read from Isaiah 53:4-6, and explore the inspired path to true forgiveness in Christ Jesus.
Thank you.
Our reading comes from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 to 6, and talks about all the things that our Lord Jesus did so that we might be forgiven. Surely our griefs He Himself bore, and our sorrows He carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon Him, and by His scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Him. That's a reading from God's holy word. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful that Your Son Jesus paid the ultimate price so that we might have the forgiveness of our sins. We're thankful that He bore our guilt, and we are thankful for His love. Help us, Heavenly Father, to act in obedience and out of love and appreciation for what Your Son has done for us. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Mankind often takes God's grace for granted. Some imagine God is a kindly old gentleman who approves whatever we do and never gets angry. Such a God has never existed. God has always known us. Proverbs 15 and verse 3 says that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. The prophet Hosea spoke of the evil deeds of Samaria. In Hosea 7 and verse 2, he said, "And they do not consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their deeds are all around them. They are before my face." God always knows the good and the evil that people do. It's the tendency of humans to downplay their sins, to think God isn't serious about punishing sin. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13 to 14, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." Yes, the Lord Jesus is the judge of all mankind, and He says that many will be lost, but only a few will be saved. 2 Thessalonians 1, 6-9 was written to Christians who were being afflicted by unbelievers. It says, "For after all, it's only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you," that is, you Christians, "and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." Sin ignoring God and disobeying the gospel will cause people to be lost. You might say, well, my sins aren't that bad. But you're speaking as a guilty sinner and not as the one sinned against. You may downplay your sins, but your conscience still convicts you. It's not just your conscience. Every sin is offensive to God. Have you considered how many times in your life that you have sinned against God? Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4 says and asks, "If the Lord should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared." David prayed in Psalm 143 and verse 2, "And do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no man living is righteous." We need the Lord's forgiveness. Without the blood of Jesus, we have no hope of eternal life. Jesus is the righteous judge, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. He will judge the sinner and justify the righteous believer. Habakkuk 1:13 says of God, "Your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor." Again, Psalm 5 and verse 4 says, "For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with you." Hebrews 13 and verse 14 reminds us, "Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord." We become holy when we are washed in the blood of Jesus and cleansed from sin. We can't stand before God as blameless without the blood of Jesus. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says that the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is His ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He doesn't hear. Separation from God not only affects our salvation, but also the entirety of our relationship. God doesn't hear the prayer of a person who loves sin. Psalm 66 and verse 18 says that if I have regard or I cherish wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Proverbs 15:8 says that the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. God doesn't want anyone to be lost. He wants everyone to be saved. And to be saved, you have to decide to come to the Lord Jesus and follow Him. Some will consent to do what is right, while others rebel. Their choices matter to God. Isaiah 1, 18 to 20 says, "Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Now, we could wonder why anyone would rebel against the Lord, knowing that only punishment awaits him. How much better it is for people to follow the Lord, to forsake their sins, and to turn to righteousness. Isaiah 55, verses 6 to 7 urges us, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and He will have compassion on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." When people turn from their wicked ways back to the Lord will abundantly pardon. That means He will forgive even a lifetime of sinning and the worst of sins. God's grace is greater than our sins because the blood of Jesus can wash away all sin. Colossians 2, verses 12 to 13 reminds us, "Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead." And He says, "When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Now, if God could raise up Jesus, He can forgive you of all your sins by making you alive with Christ. When we're baptized, we die to that old man of sin, and we rise to walk in newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." All one's old sins are gone. God no longer holds, and He no longer holds our sins against us when we are baptized into Christ. In Christ, we're new creatures, new people, children of God, saints. And there can't be a greater difference between the difference Christ makes in our lives. Before we become Christians, we're dead in our sins and transgressions. But after we become Christians, we're washed clean by the blood of Christ, free from sin, and new creatures filled with hope. The happiest day of our lives, and the best news we'll ever hear, is the news that we're forgiven of our sins. David wrote in Psalm 103, verses 8 to 12, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He hasn't dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." David realized the Lord was merciful and completely removed our sins from him and from us when we are forgiven. When God forgives, He does so intentionally, and He does it out of love. God's mercy means He has decided not to hold our sins, our transgressions against us. The prophet Micah could say in Micah 7, verses 18 and 19, Who is a God like you who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of His possession? He doesn't retain His anger forever because He delights in unchanging love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, you will cast, that is, you, God, will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Forgiveness means God no longer holds our sins against us. They're no longer on His mind when He thinks of us. The Lord said in Isaiah 44, 22, "I have wiped out your wrongdoings like a thick cloud and your sins like a heavy mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you." The purpose of forgiveness is to bring about reconciliation. God forgives us so that He can renew a relationship with us. When we sinned, we broke a loving relationship with God. When the Lord forgives us in response to our faith and love and obedience to His will, He renews that loving relationship with us. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 19 says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Christ died for our sins and bore the punishment for our guilty souls so that His sacrificed blood could atone for our sins and reconcile us. His death allowed us to be friends with God again. I want to be righteous. I want to be right with God and have no stain of sin on my soul. I want to be able to call God my Father, knowing the blood of Jesus has pardoned my transgressions and opened the door for me to be reconciled, that is, right with God once again. I know I can't change the past. History is history, and it can't be undone. But my past is no longer an obstacle separating my God from my soul. In forgiveness, my sin is gone. My guilt is gone and my shame is gone. I can pray and God will hear. Pardon with forgiveness doesn't extinguish a person's past. That can't be done. You can't undo history. The record of what has been done by us of good or evil remains. God doesn't extinguish the deeds of the past, but God did send Jesus to suffer the punishment for our sins on the cross. And so Isaiah 53:5 says, "But He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the chastening for our well-being fell upon Him. And by His scourging we are healed." 1 Peter 2 and verse 24 explains that He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed. Yes, we're healed of the separation from God that our sins caused. His death sets us on a new track of righteous living. We die to sin and live to righteousness. Forgiveness changes our relationship with the Father so that the sins are no longer an obstacle to prayer. Instead, we're His children and we work for the accomplishment of His purposes. His love and favor now shine on us, and we love Him. We want Him to shine in our lives. We want His will to be done on earth. And we hunger and we thirst for righteousness as we turn from the old life of sin to a new life of godliness. And we enjoy the peace and hope of a right relationship with God. We have life, newness of life, an abundant life, and an eternal life with God. And nothing else is so wonderful or grand. Are you able to say, "My sins for which I am ashamed are all forgiven and washed away by the blood of Jesus"? My sins are now fully forgiven. The rebellious sinner I once was is now dead to sin. And the person I've become belongs to the Lord Jesus. Can you say that? Can you say, "I now have my conscience cleared and my guilt removed. I'm now at peace with God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ"? Are you living with guilt and shame in your soul? Or are you free from sin? Can you look in the mirror and smile at the new person you have become? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that Jesus died for our transgressions and sins so that we might be free from them and live a new and glorious and abundant life with You. And Father, help us always to do Your will. In Jesus' name, amen. From the day of Pentecost, the answer to sin, guilt, and shame has been set forth through the first gospel sermon on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus died for our sins. He was buried and raised by God from the dead. Eyewitnesses knew God raised Jesus and made Him both Lord and Christ. Peter in Acts 2:36 pointed to those who crucified Him. They felt the full weight of sin and guilt. They wondered what they needed to do because they had sinned against God. Acts 2:38-41 says, that Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God will call to Himself." And with many other words, he solemnly testified, and he kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." And then those who had received his words were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Do you need the forgiveness of sins? People aren't forgiven by faith alone, but by repenting and being baptized. Baptism isn't a sprinkling, it's an immersion. Baptism isn't for little children, it's for those responsible enough to believe and repent. Now, if you were taught salvation comes from some other way than what the apostles taught on Pentecost, then remember, God alone is the one who forgives. We must listen to Him. Human counsels and traditions aren't God, and they cannot change God's plan. Get right with God God's way. You'll never regret doing the right thing. We pray that today's study about forgiveness has stirred your soul. If you live in the United States and you want a free printed copy of this message, mail your request to In Search of the Lord's Way, Post Office Box 371, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083, or send an email to searchtv@searchtv.org. Or you can call the Search office, and it's toll free at 1-800-321-8633. There's also a schedule of our programs, a map of the location of churches in your area on searchtv.org, and many other good materials. Also, you can catch us on YouTube. We hope that you'll go and visit one of the Churches of Christ in your area that you can find on the map, and tell them that you watch Search. Well, we'll be back next week, Lord willing, and we hope you'll be with us. And as always, we say, God bless you, and we love you from all of us. And In Search of the Lord's Way.